won't be long this morning. There's a lot of things in life that I just don't understand. Women, for one. That's a tough one. I don't think anybody understands women. You can't. I don't understand things. I don't understand how a man could walk away from his family. I don't understand that. And you know what's the sad part of our society is? Now it's women that do that. They'll walk away from their children, walk away from their husband. But there's one thing, those are two things that confuse me a lot. Another thing is, how do people walk away from Jesus? I don't understand that. In this chapter, Jesus, at the beginning of the chapter, he had performed a few miracles. He started with the feeding of the crowd of 5,000. And then Jesus had left the crowd, and he went over the sea towards Capernaum. His disciples followed him in a ship, and of course they got stuck in a storm, and Jesus walks on the water to them to help them. But that crowd that had seen the miracle decided that they would go find Jesus, and so they take off and they find him. Jesus then starts talking to them. For the most part, he tells them the reason that they're coming after him is because they've seen the miracles or they got fed. Not that they were coming for the right reason. Now, there were some people there who believed in him and followed him, but a majority of the crowd did not. And so they follow Jesus out there. So he starts just telling them the truth. He says, if you're going to follow me around, I'm not going to hide the truth from you. I'm just going to lay it out there and let you know who I am and what I believed. What is the result of that? The result of that is what we see in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, it's one thing for the crowd that did not understand really who he was, and they were just there because of the things that he did, when the message got a little tough for them to walk away. But what about those who were following him? Those who claim to be his disciples, they heard it and they walked away. In fact, it was so bad, Jesus turns to the 12 and says, and I'm paraphrasing here, okay, the New Myers Version, are you guys going to leave also? Are you going to bail out? You going to walk away? Peter, as he has tendency to do, steps up and affirms that they will not. But the fact of the matter is that problem is not a new one. I love serving in church. I've been serving this church since day one. I'm thankful that God allowed me to be a part of this church and met many great people, many saved, many of you. I know your stories. I've seen you come in. But the sad thing about working in a church that long is there are those who walked away from Jesus. Some are new converts and they get started and they're excited and they're fired up and they don't really have any depth of heart and they fade away. There are some who have followed Jesus for a little while and they fade away. But there are even those who follow Jesus for a long time. They fade away. By the way, let me just say this. When you walk away from Jesus, it's never good. Never good. I've talked to many recently. A while ago, I don't typically, when someone leaves the church, this isn't mean, when someone leaves our church and they want to go do something else, I only have a limited amount of time, and that's for our church folks and new converts and so forth. I typically don't, you know, let them go. But we talked to this individual, and as I talked to him and spent a little bit of time with him, it amazed me how things had changed in their life. These were people we would talk to, and they talk about soul winning. They talk about serving the ministry. And now none of that, even though they were going to another church. It's sad. I'm glad that although I've not been perfect, I've tried to stay with the Lord. But the question is this: why do people walk away from Jesus? I think if we look at some of these verses in the few minutes we have, we'll notice a few things. And I say this by way of let's be careful. Sometimes people say, you know what? I'll never walk away from Jesus. You know who said that? Peter. Then we just looked at that. Peter said, look, last week we looked at Peter and he's telling Jesus, you're not doing that. You're not going to die. I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen. And yet Peter, a short time later, was cursing and denying that he even knew who Jesus was. So it can happen to all of us. But why do people walk away from Jesus? Let me give you a couple reasons. We're just not very solid. We're not very solid. Look at verse number 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Jesus, when Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" What does that mean? They weren't solid, they were soft. They didn't want to hear the truth. And when they heard the truth, they got offended. Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand how people can come to church and get upset when somebody shares the truth of the Bible. Now, I don't know what we expected at church. When I walked into church as a teenager, ungodly, Gethsemane Baptist Church, Brother Black got up. He said a lot of things that I didn't like. He said a lot of things I'd never heard in my life. But you know what? It didn't offend me because it was church. I kind of expected them to use the Bible and tell me the truth. I remember one time I brought a bunch of my old friends to church, and they were sitting there, and I probably should have brought them on a Sunday morning, but I brought them on a Sunday night. Brother Black had a tendency to be a little rougher on Sunday night. And you know what? They weren't buying it. I could hear them behind me. They weren't buying it. Now look, let me just assure you, when you come to church, nobody's here is purposely trying to offend anybody, but we do try to believe the truth. Do you know it's getting harder? Because we live in a very soft society. You know, they talk a lot about tolerance, which tolerance means everybody has a right to believe what they want, even if it's wrong. But we've changed that to mean, I have a right to not hear what you're saying if I don't agree with it. And you know what we're doing? We're bringing that into church. We're spiritually soft. By the way, if you don't ever hear something in church that goes against your grain, something is wrong. Number one, you're perfect. And if you are perfect, then I remember one time this lady ripped us off on some tracks. Brother Vaughn was trying to get her to repay us. And we were going back and forth. I said, "Give me the phone." They wanted to charge us $700 for tracks that were upside down. And I started talking to her, and she said to me, she goes, I said, "Look, why can't you just kindly admit you made a mistake?" And she said, "I never make mistakes." And I said, "Where were you when I was looking for a wife?" She didn't think that was very funny. We did get a refund, though, okay. But we're soft. By the way, we grow up our children and they're soft. You know, a little kid falls on their playground and gets a boo-boo and we freak out. We used to call that growing up. Okay? But look, you say, "Well, when I'm preaching, I'm hearing it too. I get twice the speakers pointed at my direction. I hear things I say and I don't like it." Okay? That's the truth. Let's not be soft. And here's this crowd. It's Jesus like, "You want to follow me? I'm just going to tell you how it is." And they got offended at that and they walked away. Now, whenever we walk away, we'll blame it on other things. We'll never blame it on the truth. It is the church's fault. It is this person's fault. It is that person's fault. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of times we just don't want to hear the truth. By the way, what did Jesus say would make us free? The truth will make us free. Okay? Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth." So we all need truth in our life. Number two, we're not spiritual. I'm not going to go into all this, but look at verse 63. It goes, "It is a spirit that quickeneth, for the flesh profiteth nothing." Now, he was making a point, but the point is valid also on a spiritual level here. He was talking a lot to them about salvation and who he was as the Messiah, but that is the fact of the matter. The fact of the matter is we walk away from Jesus sometimes because we're not growing in our faith. We think that we're okay just because we come to church. And by the way, thank God you come to church. Man, thank God. It's a Thanksgiving weekend. I know there's people out of town. The place is packed out. Thank you for being faithful to God and coming to church. And by the way, that's a big part of it. We don't need less church. We need more. That's why we push Four to Flourish around here. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night. I would never just sit at home on Thursday night or on a Sunday night when I can be at church. But let me say this. Church isn't going to make you a spiritual Christian. Church is going to help you, and it's going to push you in the right direction, but you need to spend time alone with God yourself. You see, we live in this constant battle between living the spiritual Christian life and this flesh in which we live. We live in a flesh that constantly just pushes us to the wrong side, constantly pushes us to do the wrong thing. That's all of us. You just lied. Thank you. How do we overcome that? We have to be spiritual. We have to be growing in our faith, knowing the Word of God, learning the Bible, and letting the Spirit of God use that to keep the flesh in check. In our Sunday school class, we're starting a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And before the fruit of the Spirit, he mentions the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are not good. There are a lot of bad things there. But then there's the fruit of the Spirit. The flesh, just the words, flesh works, but the fruit of the Spirit. How can we walk away from Jesus? Because we've been to church, we've heard it all, and yet we're just not spiritual. We really don't want to be a godly Christian. By the way, I think that's a decision you need to make. You know, that does not happen automatically. I walked in the church as a godless teenager out of high school, and I came in, and I just was going to church, and I was enjoying it. So I came on a Sunday morning for about a month, and then after a month of hearing the word of God, I realized I had to make a decision. I caught it. Maybe no one else caught it. I'm like, I can't just come on Sunday mornings and just go do what I want to do. Am I going to take this thing spiritually? The spiritual thing seriously. And I made a decision and said, Lord, I'm in. I'm not going to just come to church. It's going to be a part of who I am. I am going to be a Christian. I am going to live like a Christian. And I think every Christian needs to do that. Well, I'm a follower of Jesus. You know what Jesus wants? He doesn't want followers. He wants disciples. That is such a catch. Well, you know, I'm just following Jesus. Well, where are you guys going? Because where you're going, my Jesus wouldn't go there. Let's be a disciple of Christ. Let's be someone that wants to be like him. But if we're not spiritual and we're substituting everything else, something's going to come up. Yeah. Something's going to happen. We're going to get upset. We're going to walk away from the Lord. Number three, we're not scriptural. We're not scriptural. Verse 63, after he told him about the flesh and the Spirit, he goes, the words that I speak unto you, the words, they are spirit and they are life. And then when he asked Peter, are you guys going to go away, Simon Peter in verse 68 answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You cannot get around it, people. Everything that we're supposed to do for Christ, everything we're supposed to know about him, everything is supposed to come from that book right there. It's not just something we pick up and we carry to church on Sunday and then we take it home and we sit it on the table and we pick it up next week and we dust it off. Everything this book says is supposed to be a vital, living part of our life, and if we're not in it, it's not going to be. We're not scriptural. We don't know the Bible. Someone comes up, and a cult member or someone that's kind of weird, and they know a couple words from the Bible, and they'll tie you in a knot because you have no clue what the Bible says. Remember years ago, I was a youth director, a teenage girl, she was over our house, and she's just I just don't believe those things you believe. Those aren't my convictions. I'm like, sister, you haven't read your Bible in a year. I said, tell me where you, she didn't know. She was just throwing that out there. She knew nothing about the Bible. But if we don't know anything about the Bible, times come. And we're like, is it really true? You know why we think that? Because we're never in it. We've got to make the Bible a part of our lives. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Then verse 106. I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments. We're just not very scriptural. And this goes along with it. We're just not students. In verse 69, Peter said, and we believe and are sure. He says, Jesus, we believe this. This is down in our core. Okay, now you're speaking for the whole group. That was a mistake. And are sure. This wasn't something that was some emotional thing. This was something that because he was in the scripture and they were learning what it says and they knew what the Bible says, they were sure about it. You know, you want to be sure about something? Know exactly everything about it. See, we get so caught up and we listen to some nutcase on the internet or somebody that says something that sounds cute and it's about as scriptural as my left toe. But you know why we get fooled? They have a nice little video clip or somebody said this and it looks nice, but there's nothing scriptural about it because we don't know. We don't know. Let's get into the Bible for ourselves and let's not just read the Bible and then let's move on. Let's get it down in the core of our being. Let's know what God said, because according to 1 Peter 3:15, that is our duty. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. Someone came up to you. That's why we do our training on Tuesday night, how to share the gospel. If someone came up to you and said, hey, are you going to that church? Are you a Christian? And if you, yes, I'm a Christian. If they were to say, what does that mean? Can you explain that to me? Let me ask you a question. Could you? Could you share some verses from the Bible that explains why you believe in Christ and why you're a Christian, and how they can become a Christian? I gave the story many years ago. There's a pitcher, I think it was Dave DeVecchi. He was a pitcher for Cincinnati and San Francisco, but he had some Christians on when he was playing for Cincinnati. They said they were Christians, and they were always trying to get him to come to a group with them, and he avoided them. But they talked to him, but they couldn't explain what it meant to be a Christian. He was out of town or something, and he was somewhere, and he trusted Christ. And he looked into it, and he went back to his buddies. He goes, how come you guys didn't tell me? Hey, guys, you had your little fellowships, and you tried to get me in. You even took me golfing. But how come you never told me how I can become a Christian? Number five, we're not stable. Think about this. Verse 67, then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Now he gives them the reason why, but he goes, we got nowhere else to go. There is no plan B. There is no second option. Where are we going to go? You know why we're unstable? Because we think there's always somewhere else we can run to. You know, when I got saved and I got right with God, I'm like, Lord, I don't ever want to get away from you. I remember I said one time, and maybe it was ignorant, I'm like, Lord, if I ever get away from you, just kill me. And my wife says, can you stand over there? Okay. That's why she won't drive the car with me. Okay. But it's like, I was just like, there's nothing else. Now, I didn't grow up in a Christian family. I already was on the other side, and I know what's on the other side, and there's nothing there. But let me just assure you, if you've never been on the other side, there's only one place to be. We leave because we think there's something better out there, because we listen to someone on the television, we listen to someone on the radio, we had an old friend that said this, but I can assure you, the best place to be, and really for a Christian, the only place to be is solidly on firm ground with our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nowhere else to go. And if in your mind you think there is somewhere else to go, you're halfway out the door already. It's just a matter of when. Just a matter of, same thing in a marriage, you know. If a husband and wife are constantly talking about divorce and you think there's a back door, you're going to take that someday. Don't use that word. Just throw that out. There's nowhere else to go. Let's be stable. That's why some of you people, it's like here they are in church for 6 weeks, man. They're going to be the next, you know, Brother Teresa. No, Mother Teresa. They're going to be the next, you know, I'm going to be a missionary to Mars. And then 7 weeks later, it's like, where are they? And then another 6 weeks, they're back. Listen, let me just encourage you. Don't get into that kind of mode. And if you are, let's get on solid ground. Because we think, I can go here and back, and it'll be over here for a while. Listen, there's nowhere else to go. Peter nailed it. Now, Peter said a lot of things, and Peter did a lot of things. And sometimes we get on Peter, but Peter had most of the things right. He says, we got nowhere else to go, Lord. We're all in on you. Hey, that's a good place to be. Let's just be, you say, but you know, someone at church irritated me. Let me say this. Get in line. Well, you irritated me. Well, thank you. Get in line with my wife. Okay. We're human. Have you ever heard of cutting some slack? Have you ever heard of like talking it out? That's what we do. We're brothers and sisters. We're not. Listen, you know when we're perfect? When we get to heaven. I always tell my wife, that's kind of a bummer. We're married on this earth for all these years, and the second we become perfect, we're no longer married. That's like cruel. Anyhow, we're not stable. We're just not very stable. Let's be stable. Let's understand that there's nowhere else to go. Brother Ray, we were at the couples retreat. He gave that illustration about Homer's Iliad in the island of the Lost Sirens. There was an island where there was these sirens. There was these lady-like creatures, and they would play this music. And as the boats would come by, if they heard the music was so powerful, they would be mesmerized by it, and they had to go to where the music was. But on the shore were rocks. And the boats would hit the rocks, and the men would die. Well, there was one captain that heard the legend, and he said, "I want to hear the music, but I want to survive." So what he did is he had them tie him to the mast of the ship, and he had all his men on the ship cover their ears with wax. He says, "No matter what you see me doing, don't turn the ship." And as soon as they got in way of the island, he was the only one that heard the music, and he started struggling, like, turn the ship. They couldn't hear him. So he survived. There was one other ship. That's where Brother Ray ended the illustration. But there's one other ship that came by unknowingly, and the men of the ship heard the music, and they started turning towards the island. The captain of the ship grabbed an instrument he played. And he started playing his instrument, and his music was so far superior to that of these ladies on the island that the men came back to their right mind, and they turned the ship, and they avoided it. You know, most Christians, here's what we are. We're tied to the mask. Well, I'm serving Jesus, but boy, everything out there looks great. You teenagers and you kids in our school, 30-second commercial break, and we'll get back to our regularly scheduled message. You sit in the school, well, the public school and all the nonsense and these people out here and what I see on TV, that's the life to live. It's not the life to live. And you struggle with it and you're fighting it. If you would realize the music Jesus gives is so much better. In comparison to what anything else there is out there. And lastly, the last reason some people walk away from Jesus is they're just not saved. You know, Peter steps up and says, Jesus, we believe and are sure. Peter impetuously spoke for the 12. I mean, he knew these guys. Jesus, I'm not just on board. All of us are on board. Was he right? No. Jesus starts talking about one of them's the devil. Okay, now we have more than a few devils in our church, Raul. He says, what he's saying to Peter is, you're not right. There's even one in our group that doesn't even believe. By the way, think about this. Judas had them so confused that even when Jesus point blank pointed out who it was, they still didn't believe it. The Last Supper, he goes, the one who dips with me, guess who dipped? Judas. And then Judas gets up and leaves, so 2 + 2 = 4. He said the one who dips is going to sell him out, and Judas got up and left. You know what they thought? Oh, he's just going to buy some more stuff. He had such a great reputation that even when it was as clear as day that he was the one, they still didn't get it. Let me just ask you something. Maybe you've been coming to church here. You're new. You can't serve Jesus if you're not one of his. When I go home, well, there's always people in our house, but let's just boil it down. The ones who stay at our house are our family. It used to be the kids. Now it's the grandbrats and the whole crew. But, you know, why do they stay? Because they're part of the family. The neighbors can come by and visit, but they're not staying. Okay? The kids bring their friends by, but they're not staying. The house is for us. You know, coming to church does not make you one of Jesus' children. Any more than living in a garage would make you a car. Okay? It just isn't going to happen. Maybe we're going to walk away because we don't know Jesus Christ and we've never trusted him. And if that's you today, I would encourage you to trust him. Here's the point. How solid are you with the Lord? Are you committed to the point where you say, you know, Lord, I don't ever want to walk away from you. If we don't get some of these things in line, that could be us. It could be us. During the summer, we preached on Demas. He was with Paul. He forsook him. Hey, let's stay straight. Let's follow Jesus for the rest of our life. Let's all stand together this morning.